today, I am excited to share with you an interview that I did this week with independent author Doruk Kansev, the author of the book Balanced, Unleashing the Power of Your Personality, which I used most recently on the episode called The Seven Spectra of a Balanced Life, where I took his sort of seven key concepts and related them to one chapter of the Tao Te Ching. The Tao Te Ching was a big inspiration for his book, and I was able to take that and run with it. I also did a more thorough overview of the book and walkthrough of my notes in the most recent Patreon subscriber exclusive episode, so you can hear that if you check out the link to the Patreon page in the show notes. But anyway, Doruk is an independent author, and he reached out to me after he found the podcast while doing some searching for Tao Te Ching-related podcasts and sources, and so we talked, and I took some time to read his book and take notes on it, and I thought, wow, it'd be great to have him on the show, do an interview, and of course to use the book as the inspiration for one of the episodes. So anyway, this interview is not solely focused or even centrally focused on the Tao Te Ching. We do talk about it and how he found it and how it impacted him and how it relates to his book. But it's more of a general interview. Doruk, as you will hear, is a life coach and sort of a free thinker. And he has a lot of great things to share. So I figured I would share this with you today, and hopefully it is helpful to you in some way. I will be putting a list of links, probably somewhat long, in the show notes for this because I want to link to both of Doruk's books as well as his website, as well as a number of things that he mentions in the show. So if you hear anything mentioned, those links will all be in the show notes. But anyway, for now, I will stop talking and we will jump right into the interview. I hope you enjoy. So hi, everyone. I'd like to welcome Doruk Kansev to the show today. You will know him from his book Balanced, which I used for both the last episode of the podcast as well as the last exclusive episode for the patrons. And today I just want to talk to him about his book, which is again called Balanced, Unleashing the Power of Your Personality. If you didn't listen to the last episode, in this book, he shares a number of different spectra on which our, not just our personality, but our lives fall. And he talks about how to find balance in these different areas in our life. It's full of a lot of great stuff, very real, very down to earth, very practical. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to say today. So welcome, Doruk. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Corey. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm excited to have you here. So I guess we'll first get started with a little bit about your background. So I just found out you're from Turkey, which is cool, actually not too far from where I live in Lebanon. So it was easier to find a time that works for both of us. But yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, Doruk.
Yeah, time can be tricky in podcasts. I once had to get up at 3 a.m. in the morning for a podcast in the U.S. So totally appreciate this convenience. And yeah, I'm a brand manager / author / life coach, and I'm helping people bring balance and purpose to their lives with my marketing and also writing and coaching. And this is actually how I find you. And as you told in the last episode, I was just looking for Taoist podcast, and I spotted yours and I really enjoyed it. And I think you did an amazing job with that episode, and I really appreciate it. I think you explained the book better than I could. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, great. That's high praise from someone in marketing. So yeah, I appreciate that. So yeah, so you're from Turkey and you're reading the Tao Te Ching and you're a life coach and doing podcast interviews with people in the US. So it sounds like you've got a lot of different facets going on here. I'm looking forward to talking about all of those, but I'll start with the first question that I kind of always ask all of the guests, because as you mentioned, this is a podcast focused on Taoism, and that's sort of, how did you find the Tao Te Ching, and then what impact did it have on your life?
Sure. You want the long or the short or the balanced version?
Balance sounds good. So whatever you think is important.
Okay. So I've always been an avid reader, and ever since high school, I was fascinated by the Far East philosophies, Buddhism and Taoism, especially. Also some focus on Zen as part of Buddhist tradition. And Taoism, Buddhism, like they were always important to me. They resonated well with me, but they weren't that central to who I was or what I was doing, what I was producing or what I was offering to other people. And like I was always meditating ever since high school. It's been more than 10 years now. And I loved the philosophy and psychology behind both Buddhism and Taoism. But it was only last year where I had this insight for my book, Balance, that Taoism became even more central to who I was and what I did. And like, I was actually working on an idea for a meditation app that would be very customizable and that would offer different meditations to different human conditions. Like, we all have different states, as I talk in the book. Like, some of us are sometimes anxious or insecure, but some of us are maybe arrogant, or maybe we might be feeling lonely, or we might be feeling we depend on other people for our happiness. So I was playing around with all these ideas that could possibly be packed in a meditation app. Then I asked myself, like, what does an anxious person need? And the answer was, of course, calm. And what does an angry person need? Maybe they need some understanding, they need some empathy. And what does a lonely person need? They need some love. Or so I was playing around these ideas, I was finding dichotomies. And then something clicked with me. Like, I saw the bigger picture, like, maybe an insecure person needs confidence. But then I looked at the other side of the coin and I saw, like, some people are very arrogant, or we have all our egos. Like, sometimes I can also be maybe assuming stuff that I shouldn't or something like that. And I thought maybe at those times people need some humbling meditations or affirmations. So I came up with a very long list. It had like 200 or 300 lines.
Oh my gosh.
With all these dichotomies. But then I kind of clicked it with Taoist yin and yang notions. Like, I saw there was a spectrum in some of them, and some of them could be grouped, some could be eliminated. And I brought them down to 50. And then someone suggested me to check these psychology frameworks, like 16 personality and the big five. And I love them because they're very essentialist, like, especially the big five. So I brought my whole model down to 10 or something. And I didn't want to bring it down to 5 because I was also talking about some other things like depression, which isn't maybe inherent to the big five, but I think it's important to talk about. So instead of doing a startup, a meditation app, I just wanted to focus on the idea. And this is how the book came up to be, and this is kind of my journey with the Taoist philosophy.
Okay, you mentioned the big five. I'm not familiar with that. Could you give us the short rundown on that?
It's fully very familiar to you once you hear it. So there are five traits that make us who we are. In my book, I kind of play with the traits and states thing. Like, some of them are more personality traits, some of them are more like emotional states, because they are also very dynamic. But this model, the big five, it's all about traits. And they go like openness to change, conscientiousness, extraversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So you probably recognize a few. And I took neuroticism and I kind of separated it into two. And I also added this attachment theory and within this introversion, extroversion domain. So overall, I think I'm looking at something not scientifically correct, but I think as a human experience, my model very much is inspired by this big five. framework, because it also speaks in spectrums. As you know, with my book, I claim that we are all on a spectrum in each of these domains. It doesn't mean that we need to all group in the ultimate center, but we just need to find our own personal sweet spots, because whenever we go into the extremes, this is where our shadows come into play, and they kind of become more, let's say, self-sabotaging problem.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing the neuroticism, that was the tension and liveliness?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because the I want to talk about anxiety and depression, and within just neuroticism, I couldn't write all of them. This was just something I want to do for the book. I want the book to be very addressable for people with very specific emotional states.
Okay. And that's something I liked. You mentioned not that we all need to sort of group in the center, I think you said. And what I liked about the book, and I've said this quite a few times in the show, but there's, when you talk about balance, I see that picture of, you know, the scale or the weights, and it's not that we have to subtract from both of these qualities to find a balance, but like the more we grow in, say, being, you know, passionate, there's not, it's not like you can have too much of being passionate, but you also have to balance it with an equal amount of awareness, rather than trying to diminish your passion or something, or, you know, what's the other example? Like humility and confidence. It's not that you were saying you can't be too humble or too confident, but they have to balance each other. And I just think of that diagram you had of the flow zone. That's probably one of my favorite things from the book.
That's not mine, by the way. Okay. I think I referred, but maybe it's not, I didn't do it very formally in the book. Like I referenced to Csikszentmihalyi, who is this positive psychologist who came up with this flow mentality, and the chart belongs to him or some probably researcher. But yeah, it's also one of my favorites.
Right. So like the more that our skills grow, the more the complexity can and should grow. You know, if the complexity is too high, anxiety. If the complexity is too low, boredom. And so like that graph to me kind of just is a good picture of the whole book, that as our passion grows, so can our awareness grow. As our discipline grows, so also should we grow in our relaxed nature, rather than trying to, like I said, subtract from one. So I really appreciate
that. It also
that.
Shows that this condition of humanity is very dynamic. Like no one is always confident. No one is always insecure. Like we're put into different situations, we can all come up with different emotions, different states. And I love that model for that as well. It shows that we are all fluid. We are all ever changing.
Right, which is a very Taoist way of thinking about it. And, you know, even as I read that, you know, it's like you'll hear people say, oh, I'm an insecure person, I'm not an insecure person, or with any of these traits. And it's like, no, we all have these at different times and in different ways. You know, and you talked about just focusing on insecurity, like sometimes the people who seem to have the least many times have some of the strongest insecurities, and they're compensating.
In another podcast, I think this was a great example. I wish I wrote, had that conversation before I wrote the book. The host just asked me about Michael Jordan, and he said, like, what do you think about Michael Jordan? And he is not insecure, etc. Then I just thought, like, he is insecure. Like, if you look at it, Michael Jordan, he's like the top of the game, but at least in the practice field, he has to be insecure to work on his flaws. This is how he grows. Like, he can be very cocky, he can be very arrogant on field, but he has this insecurity compared to probably his ideal self. Mm-hmm. And like his ideal self always takes that buzzer shot. His ideal self never misses, but he does, and he talks about it a lot. And embracing that shadow, which is a very Jungian concept as well, Jung or Yanka, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it is also a very central parts of cognitive behavioral therapy, especially what David Burns does. He has something called positive reframing, and he looks at your shadows. He doesn't say shadows, but and he shows you that they are actually part of who you are, and this is why they are valuable to you. Like, anxiety is not inherently a bad thing. Anxiety comes from our care, actually, like whether it's our care for our own lives or whether it's our care for doing a good job or for our loved ones. The goal is not to eradicate anxiety from our lives, but to understand it and to relate to it in a more meaningful and preferable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that brings out another thing I appreciated of the book is like all of these negative, if we want to call them that, the negative manifestations or the imbalanced things, whether it's depression or mania or arrogance or insecurity, confusion, all of these different things, they're not, they're rooted in kind of, as you just said, a positive thing, but they're sort of an imbalanced manifestation of that. So that, like you said, the insecurity comes from, I'm blanking on the words you just said there, but like sort of an imbalanced form of humility, right? Or
yeah. It also shows that you want to be better. Like,
exactly.
If you are feeling insecure. Yeah, it just shows that you want to improve.
Right. So rather than looking at parts of how you're feeling or thinking, saying this is just bad or this is just wrong, it many times could just be, manifesting something that is truly good but needs balance. And that's something I really, again, appreciated about the book. And I tried, as I was taking notes, to find ways to apply it to my own life, which I don't necessarily need to share here, but I did find that enlightening for me that some of the ways I've been feeling either negative or anxious actually are rooted in wanting to do a good job or wanting things to work out right, but not handling them in a balanced way. So in a sense, the book did a little bit of life coaching for me. So thank you for that.
I'm so glad. And like my life coaching journey started after I wrote this book, and I actually like discovered this cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, like positive reframing, after I wrote the book. But I'm so happy that I looked at it from a similar perspective. Like, I wanted to show people like their shadows have some adaptive features to them, like just how you discovered for yourself, whatever you are suffering from is part of who you are, and you don't need to eradicate it from your life. Even within the yin and yang symbol, there is no ultimate yang, there is no ultimate yin, there's always yin within yang and yang within yin. So our own shadows are by themselves not pure evils that we need to run away from.
Right, exactly. That's good. So you just said something that, give me a little bit of a timeline here. I wasn't aware of, the book. Actually, I thought what you're calling the second book was the first book. I don't know why. So give me a timeline. So you wrote a book, became a life coach, and then wrote another book. Is that how this went down? Or?
So I wrote the first book.
When was that?
I published it last March. I think I started writing it the August before that.
Okay, so about a year and a half ago. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Then I published the first book around March. Then I started working on the second book, and I got my coaching training. And around since September, I think I'm coaching professionally. And I launched the second book, I don't know, somewhere around December, I guess. So it's going pretty fast for me. It's hard to catch up with my own timeline, but yeah, that's pretty
much.
Yeah,
wow. So two books in less than a year and starting to become a life coach in that time too. Yeah, wow. That is fast, but exciting, I'm sure.
I'm still figuring out a lot of things about myself, about what I want to do. But like every day I'm trying to create something every day. I'm trying to add some value to the world or to myself. I'm really grateful that I can do these things. Like, I think the times that we live in, the connection that we could have with you right now, conversation, the book that I could launch it myself, it's so much of a chance that we have to build a world for ourselves, build a life, and I'm trying to do my best.
Yeah, I can relate to some of that excitement, and it is interesting to think about, you know, how do you approach that even in a balanced or Taoist way of all these things happening, all these new sort of enterprises or new undertakings? And yeah,
it's a good question, actually. Like, if I take it as a question, like, in the book, I sometimes talk about not shunning your shadows, right? For me, I have some perfectionist tendencies. Like, I can get sometimes obsessive with my goals or desires or whatever. And sometimes it helps me. And I'm sometimes harnessing that. But I try to be aware of that. Like, I try to be aware of all the risks and all the trade-offs that I do. Sometimes you need some space, and sometimes you can get too disconnected from people. Like, I think a lot of creative people have these tendencies, and even your passion can sometimes get in the way. So I sometimes go into those extremes knowingly, go into my like innermost chaos or whatever. Like, I make some peace with my demons, and then I try to come back to the real world. I try to come back to what I do and who I am and people that I love and everything else. But yeah, it's a ever-going trade-off and dynamic going on.
Sure. Interesting. So continuing down that timeline, I'll let you choose what to talk about next. I've got, so you wrote the book, then you were working on the second book, became a life coach, released the second book. So tell us either, I mean, I'm going to ask you to tell us about both, but tell us first either about what does it mean to be a life coach? I'm not super familiar with the term, and sort of how did that happen? Or tell us about your other book, which I have not mentioned on the show.
So. Sure. Since you asked life coaching first, I can start with that. And I think we can also go into the second book sometime.
For sure. I'm excited to read the second book. I like the picture on the cover. I'm excited about that. So.
Okay. Thank you. Let's jump to that next. Like, coaching is a very broad spectrum, and it's like very shady sometimes. All the certifications, it's not a very regulated domain, and anyone can call themselves a coach. Like, you could call yourself, I'm a Taoism coach or a balance coach or whatever coach. And there are health coaches, energy coaches, executive coaching, confidence coaches. Like, it's a whole industry. And like, where I find myself there is, like, I call myself a life strategist sometimes, because I do brand management and I develop strategies for brands. And I just talk to myself, like, I could do the same for people's lives. Like, just like how a brand has a strategy get their goals, we can also have our strategies. Because when we look at a brand strategy, we look at their strengths, and we look at its weaknesses. And if you translate it to my coaching, I also look at people's strengths and also their shadows and what they want to achieve, their goals and priorities in life. And I link them together so that they can find who they want to become and what they want to do, like what they want to contribute to the world. What is their purpose? Just like how a brand has a purpose. So I develop my own framework. And part of it is my first book, Balanced, because I use that framework just like how you use it for yourself in your own self-coaching manner. I use it to show people their own shadows. And I also use it to get them to think about their ideal selves, like what kind of a person you want to become. Maybe they are feeling insecure right now. And some of them say they want to be more confident, but some of them say, yeah, I can be okay with remaining humble because our values are different. So in my coaching, I try to understand people's values, what matters to them, and then I try to show them who they can become and what they can do with their lives.
Okay. I got it. So it's interesting sort of analogy there to a brand. I never thought of myself as having a brand, so that's an interesting way of thinking about it. But essentially, so finding your purpose, strengths, weaknesses, and probably sort of finding out what things you want to focus on in your life rather than just sort
Exactly.
of, I mean, I have a million things I want to do and a million things I feel like I could be. And sometimes the question is, narrowing it down, which you talk about in the book as well, of like, find the
Yeah,
one
the focus
thing.
chapter.
Right.
Exactly. And strategy actually means choosing where to play. Like the first thing about strategy is you need to choose where to play, what to focus on. And yeah, this is very essential. We all could be so many different things and we all could do so many different stuff. But in the end, it all comes down to what really matters to us. And yeah, this is part of what I do. Like you could have hours of therapy or coaching, like hundreds of hours even. But I try to keep it very essential. I try to really help people get to the bottom of what matters to them and what they want to achieve and become.
Right, and I mean, that's a big question and a big, as you say in the book, like making any choice we make is essentially necessarily like a denial of other things, whether, if we choose, I don't know, Cheerios over cornflakes, like we're choosing one over the other. And then when you kind of scale that out to the bigger picture, choosing to focus on the podcast means not choosing to focus on this or that. And so we get that
Exactly.
analysis paralysis, my teacher used to call it. And so eventually just sort of choosing the thing, I can see how that's having a coach to help sort of sort through all those different visions is it can be helpful. So cool. And so did this process of becoming the life coach lead into the second book, or I haven't, let me just the title of the second book is, let me see, The Mentor Playbook, Lessons from Movie Mentors About 24 Character Strengths. So I can see here you've got like Gandalf and Yoda and a character from Avatar. I'm guessing it seems like you're like a really big either film and TV buff
Yeah, that's a kind way to say nerds, I guess. Yeah, I kind of am.
What'd you say? A
And actually,
kind way to say nerd? Is that what you said?
yeah. So you're just being nice, I guess. Yeah, I'm a film buff or nerd, whatever you call it. And actually, when I was writing the first book, I think you will remember from the introduction part, I was also very much inspired by these mentor characters, like Yoda, Gandalf, Uncle Iroh, especially from Avatar, The Last Airbender. Because have you watched it?
I
The
have not.
Avatar, Last Airbender.
I have not.
You could, I'm not going to say you should, but you could, because the idea behind the show is very Taoist. Like, there is a guy, there is an avatar who needs to master all four elements. And he's an airbender. He needs to learn also earthbending, waterbending, but also firebending. And since he's an airbender and firebending is about passion and airbending is more about being calm, he finds it very natural to learn maybe waterbending, but firebending is very hard for him. But to become whole, he also needs to learn firebending. And like this Uncle Iroh character always talks about becoming whole, learning from other elements, learning from other people. And I was actually listening to a lo-fi, which is a song, music genre, playlist with Uncle Iroh's inspiration words. I think it really inspired me a lot for the first book. And the second book itself is all dedicated to these characters because I think they were always my role models, and I'm still trying to be like them. And with my coaching and writing, like even Yoda, like he talks about anger leads to hate, like and hate comes from fear, and all these psychological dynamics going on with also the Jedi and the Sith and the light side and the dark side. It was also central to both books. So in the second book, I focus on character strengths, which is a model in positive psychology again. It's a framework developed by Seligman and Peterson. So I linked each of these character strengths to these movie mentors. It was very fun to write because I had to watch all these movies again. It was a lot of work and research, but it was a lot of fun as well. And in the end, again, like just like the first book structure, I was able to talk about a lot of things about human nature. And it taught me a lot because I was also doing heavy researching. And I incorporated that framework into my coaching as well. So now I help people also find their strengths. So my two books kind of really relate well to my coaching practice in that sense.
Great. Cool. Yeah, that's cool. I like the idea behind it a lot. I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I'm not a big film buff in general, but Lord of the Rings films are still my favorite ever. So I'm just looking through the table of contents here of the book. I'm seeing, just for those who aren't familiar with the model, there's wisdom, judgment, creativity, perspective, kindness, love, leadership, just picking some random ones here, humor, spirituality. So you mentioned Yoda and a little bit of Uncle Iroh. I guess my question for you would be, we've got 24 strengths here and 24, I guess, movie examples. If you could pick one or two that stand out most for you, or that were the most fun to write or the most meaningful for you, which ones would those be?
Actually, I have 72 because each chapter has three references to movies. So that was a lot of work that I had to go through. A lot of research in YouTube and some BuzzFeed lists, and I watched them all, and it was fun. Let me think. I will also think about my own strengths in that sense. For me, like, my strengths are creativity, wisdom, and love of learning. But from my book, I think one of them was Obi-Wan saying, like, only a Sith deals in absolutes. And I try to be very open-minded as well. And so, like, I have some tendencies sometimes to go with my own thinking. And this judgment chapter is all about also heeding the opinion of others, being more open and being more open to diversity. And that was one of my most, I guess, inspiring chapters for myself. For creativity, I have this chef from Ratatouille who says anyone can cook. Have you watched Ratatouille?
No.
So
I'm very, very behind on films. I mean, it's unbelievable how many movies I haven't seen.
It's a Pixar movie, and there's this mouse who wants to become a chef, and his mentor teaches him that anyone can cook, even if they're a mouse. And I take it like anyone can write, anyone can do a podcast, anyone can do coaching. So I try to always remember that. Let's see. For me, as I said, Uncle Iroh character from the Avatar was a huge inspiration for both of my books. And I didn't put this reference into the second book, but in an episode, he asks his nephew, it is time to ask the bigger questions in life, like who you are and what do you want from life? And this has been a very central question to who I am and also what I do with my coaching as well. So definitely I would put Uncle Iroh as my main inspiration.
All right, the main inspiration. Okay, I've been recommended Avatar so many times, and I don't know what it is. I did actually watch the first two episodes several years ago, and I just couldn't get into it.
The first season.
Most people I know who recommended it had sort of this childhood nostalgia about it. And then as they grew up, they saw the deep thinking behind it, and I don't have that. In fact, my only association with it is that my little brother used to watch it, and so anything my little brother watched, I didn't want to watch. It was too cool for that. So it's not the case anymore, but there's like this visceral sort of childhood level. No, that's for babies, because my brother, who's only 2 years younger than me, used to watch it.
Yeah, I had a brother and I know the feeling. But maybe you can check out some YouTube videos, especially about Uncle Iroh and his philosophy or the philosophy of Avatar, Airbender, etc. Because I think once you see the philosophy behind it, it will resonate with you so much that even if you don't watch the whole show, you will probably look into it. And I'm sure you will enjoy it because it's, I don't know, it's a very fantastic setup and world, but also philosophy. And it's like whenever you look at it, you find something new. So much detail, so much work, and so much passion went into it. Just kudos to the producers.
Yeah. I've got a lot of appreciation for that, and I have no problem with I enjoy fantasy a lot, so it wouldn't be too, and I enjoy good world building and good character development, so which is one reason I'm so picky about what I watch, is I'm extremely
Strategy.
hard to please, extremely hard to please when it comes to film and TV. So all right, yeah, if you know any good videos, send them along to me. I'll watch them.
I have some amazing creators. Can I mention one of them at least? Like, I really admire his work, and I would like your audience to check him out, maybe.
Sure.
This guy called Hello Future Me. He's analysis of especially character arcs and world building and the philosophy is very deep, and he also works in suicide hotlines as a volunteer, etc. So I like his mission as well. So I will send you a few links, and I hope you enjoy them.
Okay, Hello Future Me, that is. It's a YouTube channel, or.
YouTube channel.
Okay, great. All right, well, I'll stick those
Don't
links in the notes
sure.
as well. All right, so the second book, it seems like it really came from the heart, or from a place that's really, meaningful and personal for you. So that's really cool. And you hinted there a little bit about, or not a little bit, you talked there about being sort of open to diversity and different ways of thinking. And so that's another question I wanted to ask you. I told you in advance. I'm also, and I know most of any listener that I know of that has stayed in contact with me, very open and interested to hear other ways of thinking. So one thing you mentioned in the book, you call yourself, I think you say, a staunch materialist. You don't directly say, you don't say non-spiritual, but I was interested in reading that, that it seemed like, okay, you're not a religious person, but you do quote Jesus quite a few times in the book. So just curious about sort of your, we don't have to go all religious, so to speak, but sort of your spiritual, either any religious background, current feelings, and then sort of what, if Jesus has had some kind of impact on you, if it seems like you quote him quite a few times in reference to different things. So yeah, kind of an open-ended question there.
Sure. Like for me, I never had a very formal religious stance. And ever since high school, I think I call myself an atheist. But I have always been a very spiritual person too. Like, I am a materialist. Like, I'm not talking about a very metaphysical way when I mention spirituality. But I think spirituality, and actually, it's a chapter from my second book. There's a chapter called Spirituality because it's also a character strength. It shows us how we can relate to the world and how we can relate to life and the bigger picture. And Jesus himself and his life, I think, was a message. And I think he would easily be one of the characters in my second book, like all these role models. Even when I look at Taoism or Buddhism, I'm not looking at them from a religious or metaphysical lens, but there is a spirituality there because I also meditate, and it's linked to religion there in Buddhism, but not per se for me. But still, I get the spiritual fulfillment from meditating, from thinking about these role models like Lao Tzu, like Buddha, like Jesus. And I don't even know, like, I don't want to cross any boundaries. Like, for me, they can be just
feel free characters. To say whatever you're thinking. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they can be characters in the history or fiction, or still what they mean to the world today is they can inspire so much goodness and so much meaning. That's all that matters to me. What they are inspiring, what they are teaching, and what they have lived for, and what they can say to us today. So for Jesus, like turning the other cheek, being, I guess you mentioned it in your podcast, being not passive but nonviolent, right? It's a very core value to myself as well. I have always been a pacifist. I liked Gandhi, and I liked also Martin Luther King, and so many, many inspiring stuff within religion or spirituality for me. But yeah, if you ask me, I would call myself a materialist.
Okay.
But maybe that's another contradiction.
No, I mean, it's interesting. So and by the way, don't feel free to say whatever you're thinking. I have listeners and people from all different, you know, schools of thought, and I've worked with interfaith and non-faith organizations and people, so I have no problem. I appreciate any sort of critical thinking. I'm just scanning through. Go ahead.
Yeah, how about you? Like, how do you relate to Taoism in a spiritual way, maybe?
Good question. Let me just... I was just going to say, as I was listening to your answer, which I was listening to, I just kind of quickly scanned the spirituality chapter in your book and just saw one line that stood out to me. It's simply about helping you relate to the world in a more meaningful way. And so that for you sounds like your definition of spirituality, then finding a meaningful way to relate to the world. So that's good. As for me, as I've said on the show, my relationship to Taoism, I tend to avoid the word Taoism. I'll occasionally use Taoist in the sense of related to the teachings of the Tao Te Ching, but I don't use Taoism, especially because it's such a vague term. There's not really any sort of organized religion, and any form of organized Taoism is pretty far from sort of the essence of the Tao Te Ching. For me, it is no more or less spiritual than having a life coach would be. And I use spiritual there, and maybe religious might be a better word there. I do believe everything is spiritual. I believe that everything we do is related to and an expression of, you know, our core beliefs, and that I don't believe in sort of a dualistic or sort of, you know, here's the religious part of me, here's the, you know, the worldly part of me. So I believe everything is spiritual. But for me, the Tao Te Ching is no different than, you know, reading a self-help book or seeing a life coach. I mean, it's full of profound and deeply true principles, but I hesitate to even use the word religious because it has so much baggage and connotation with it. But to be simplified, I don't see it as a religious book in one way or the other. I see it as a book that grasps a lot of truth, And any book that sort of grasps that level of truth and helps you. I mean, it's a book that the fruit of it is that I've become a better, more well-rounded, more balanced person. And so for me, that's why this show, I kind of, when I first started the show, expected a lot more sort of pushback. I grew up in a very conservative evangelical environment. Would not consider myself a conservative evangelical anymore. Hesitate to even use the word evangelical because that's a whole political and religious mess in the US. But when I created the logo of sort of the yin yang with the cross in it, I expected a lot of pushback and I didn't really get any. And I think that's because many people were either too shocked to even know how to respond, or they just like were like, okay, whatever, that's weird. Because at least where I'm from, there was this like the yin yang would have been seen as a religious symbol. And even you can see it in the US, there was a trend of like these coexist bumper stickers and signs that people could put up. And it was like, you know, the crescent, the Muslim crescent, and then the cross and different signs from Hinduism, and then like a yin yang in there, a yin yang, and it's viewed as like a religious symbol, but really it's more of a philosophical or a life symbol. So when you ask me, you know, if it's, I think you asked me like, how's it connected to my spirituality? I would say in one way it's deeply connected to my spirituality because everything is spiritual and it's helped me grow. If you want to talk about it in a more traditional way, it's not religious or really connected to my doctrine, so to speak, on a theological or metaphysical level. And that's something I say a lot throughout the show is I don't see the Tao Te Ching giving any real metaphysical, sorry, that's not true. There is a metaphysical element, but as far as like a theological or dogmatic, it's not that kind of book. So I find it easy
I
really to
think it
use.
also comes down to values, like this, because you mentioned it in the last podcast. I will go from there. This nonviolent resistance, like maybe not resistance. What would you call it? Like Jesus'
No,
way of.
nonviolent resistance is perfect. That's exactly the
Okay,
phrase.
so if you look at it from another perspective, like in the Far East philosophies, even in Aikido, it's not about attacking people. It's about like using their aggression against them, using their momentum against them. And it's kind of also nonviolent in that way. And if we look at it, this is probably essential to who you are. And this is because when you look at both Christianity and Taoism and perhaps other philosophies that are interest to you, you see these common core values. And in that sense, I think, yes, they are also very much interlinked. And this is also my understanding of spirituality, the meaning you find in them. So, yeah, that totally makes sense in both of our cases, I guess.
Okay, good. Yeah, thanks for that. I had just two more questions. I guess one of them's kind of a double question, but one was just a fun one. I meant to ask this actually in the beginning of the episode. You made a line or a comment in the book that your mom, I don't know if you even said it, you're from Turkey, and you said your mom learned English just to read your book. Could you, you should say a little
She
more about
tried.
that.
Yeah, she tried. Like it was a huge motivation for her to start and like go on, but she couldn't keep it up. And I don't know whether it will be sooner for me to find a publisher in Turkey, in Turkish, or for her to learn English. But she's still trying. Like she's trying to listen to my podcast as a practice, and we can say hi to her, and she probably wouldn't understand. So, yeah, hi, mom.
That's great. I love that supportiveness. And you just mentioned podcast, which is a great link into sort of the last question I had for you. It is a double question. So one, you just told me you're just now starting a podcast, which is cool, and I look forward to hopefully being able to come on that for an interview. What did you say? Returning the plate full? You told me there's a Turkish saying of returning the plate full or something like that.
Yeah, it's a tradition in Turkey, like in villages especially, Like whenever a neighbor brought to you a full table with food and everything and treats, like you would take them, thank them, and the next day you would knock on their door and you would bring them a plate of your own offerings and treats.
Gotcha. Cool. So yeah, that was your description of having me on your show. So you're just coming out with this podcast. Feel free to tell us a little about that. And then my last question was, are you currently planning or thinking of any more books, or other new projects or new initiatives?
Sure. I'm also looking forward to our session, and I think it will be interesting to sit on the other sides of the table. So I think, yeah, this will be a lot of fun. And for me, I have a lot of projects going on, and some of them on my mind. I have at least two or three book ideas, but like strategically, I need to make some choices about all the options that I have. And I'm trying out new things like coaching and podcasts, maybe other forms of things, consulting. So I don't know what will be my next project after the podcast, but for now, podcast makes a lot of sense to me because I will get to meet a lot of people like yourself, have deep conversations, and the name of the podcast is deeply inspired. Because I want to inspire people, I want to help people see the bigger picture. And with every guest, I hope to serve to that purpose. And yeah, like one of, if there are any publishers listening, yeah, the third book idea, one of them is the villain playbook. This time I will be looking at lessons from the movie Villains. And the darker
Okay.
side of human nature and like ambition or whatever. And I think it will be interesting, but I need to make some choices, as I said, and we'll see how it goes.
I love that idea, the villain playbook.
Yeah.
I still look forward to, as much as I'm not a movie buff, you know, I'm not, I haven't been living under a rock, so I do know the characters, and I loved Star Wars as a kid and Lord of the Rings. So I look forward to reading the Mentor playbook, but I think I would, if I had a choice between the two to read tomorrow, I would probably start with the villain playbook. That sounds really interesting.
I hope commercially too it will be the case, but we'll see how.
I could see it being even more of an eye catcher, although the picture of Gandalf wearing sunglasses on the cover of the other one
Like swag.
is actually really great. The swag Gandalf is really would catch my eye. Let me see here. So that's about all I had. So again, the podcast, everyone, and I'll say this at the beginning of the episode as well, is called Deeply Inspired, yes. And it is currently available, or you're just,
It
because you
will be
told me you
this
were just
week.
starting.
I'm just launching. Yeah. I'm recording the first session tomorrow.
Okay. And you'll be interviewing someone for that, or
Yeah. It will all be interviews. So I'm definitely looking forward to yours. And
great.
thank you so much for this session, by the way, Corey. I appreciate what you do as with all your podcasts and other things going on. And I appreciate you having me as well.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a great conversation. And yeah, I look forward to talking. No idea when I'll have the when I'll be able to set up that appointment for us, but I look forward to it as well. So thank you again. This was Dorit Kontsev. I hope I'm saying that right. And yeah, thanks so much for your book. And I will be posting a link also to that in the show notes, as well as to his podcast if you're interested in checking that out. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks again, Dorit.
Thank you.